Turning this morning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, and I read the first two verses. So Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." And so we're thinking about the helps in coming to Christ. We are so grateful to the Lord that even when we want to come to him, we need his own help, and he provides them. If anyone recognizes his need or her need of the forgiveness of sins and the need for a relationship with the Lord, it's the Lord himself that grants help all the way so we actually come to rest our hopes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this narrative of these wise men that came to Bethlehem at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an example of how the Lord helps those who seek him and who desire him. So we get into the passage right away, my dear friends. So let me just look at the first verse again. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now these wise men, I'm sure you know, there's been all kinds of stories about them, simply because the Bible tells us very little about who they are and a few other things about them. So people want to guess, but we do not have to know more than the Bible teaches us, so that's enough for us. And the Bible tells us that they come from the east. Now, it's not specific, because east can be anywhere from what you may call Arabia to Persia to Mesopotamia, anywhere towards the eastern part of Palestine. So this is where they came from. It is suggested it would have been any of those places where they came from. We do not know the number. Sometimes it is suggested from their gifts that they were three, but the Bible doesn't tell us they were three. It simply tells us that they brought three gifts. So it could have been, we know more, there were more than one. But how many exactly they were, we don't know. And so, and all these things are really not very important to know. And also, we know that for the fact that they are called wise men, mean that where they were very important persons. They would have been something like astrologers or at least religious leaders in those parts of the world. And in those parts of the world, the religious leaders would have been those persons nearer to the king. So they would have been the elite kind of persons. You know that in the ancient times, the priests were closest to the king, like in Egypt and some of these other countries. So this would have been one of them. And the fact that they had something to understand, they could understand something about the stars, makes us think that they would have been astrologers. And so very near to the king, they would have interpreted various events of nature and the various occurrences to him, because relying much on what is called a natural religion, they depended much on these persons to give them a kind of interpretation of what is happening. If there was a kind of a strange phenomenon in the skies, they would want to know why and what's the purpose. And these people would have given the king some interpretation, whether they were right or not, well, that's a different thing, but that would have been their business. And so this is a kind of an elite persons that we're talking about here. Oh, almost you're from the Yansafono. Trust on the kind chairman, but we are saying, anywhere around Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, what from her baby, and on between a free Abba. Now, so baby potty any day, you need more. Now, among Ebaye, These were very important personalities that we're speaking about. Now, my dear friends, the biggest question, and which should be of interest to us, because that teaches us something. Why did they interpret? Look at verse 2, saying, so they saw this. Let me pick from verse 1 again. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? That's their question. That's their inquiry. This was their inquiry. And listen to what they said in addition. For we have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him. We've seen the star. The question is, how do they know that the star they saw represented something of a king born? And that's the biggest question. How did they know about Jews and their king? Because they were asking about the king of the Jews. How did they know about the Jewish king that would be born? Now, a number of things the Lord had done, and this really is very important to us because it helps us appreciate how much the Lord brings help to those who would come to him. Because several years ago, in the days of Moses, there had been a soothsayer, a false man who was calling himself a prophet, around that place. You may know his name is called Balaam. We read about him in Numbers chapter 22. Now, this Balaam had come from that part of the world and had been brought to see the people of Israel as they were traveling, and had spoken about the people of Israel. And in the process of speaking about the people of Israel, he had said that a star will rise out of Jacob. It was given that insight was given to him by the Lord, because even though he was brought to curse the people of Israel, the Lord changed his purpose. The Lord changed his mind so that he came rather to bless the people of Israel. And in the process said, a star will come out of Jacob, and that he would rule over the nations and conquer the nations around Israel. And then also, you remember, the people of Israel have been taken into captivity. And they were taken into captivity around the same area in Babylon, in Persia, in these areas. And around the time, and through these influences, the scriptures have been translated into the common language of the time, the Greek language, where the Romans had come to be in power. So the scriptures have been translated so that most people could understand. And so most people, if they were willing, would read these things and would know from the Jewish scriptures something about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be born. And so there was the scripture there for them. That the message of Balaam that is somehow hanging in the skies about the Jewish king, a star that will be born. And I'm sure you know that the people of Israel, wherever they went, had been anticipating the coming Lord, their coming Messiah, their coming hope of the nations. And so you see. And so this would have formed the foundation for this wise man who came from the east. Assyria ne Babylon so mo entwe aso no Munim say it won't cross our emienwa. And I am a good mono, or Munya Wanka, someone churn when churn some no say, Yacha, say Abacas and Nipa baby to me at your sin. Indeed, be befa, you fool, won't I jim quite a bone in the dear. Nay, dear, I cost so a woman may bring more or more any dark kind, so these men would have had access to these things and would have been. Would have had some understanding of this Messiah that is to come. But there's something very signal, something very special, isn't it? Because there was nothing about a star. They are spoken about it by Balaam. But they saw the star. And how did they know the star represents a Savior? We believe that the Lord would have helped them. Enlightened their minds. Being astrologers would have used, yes, what they may have known about general things, and would have actually used that to speak to them, to alert them, to jolt their minds, and to make them desirous of knowing something of the Lord Jesus Christ. Omo ye dena sa ensumo muhu yano omo ka se ensumo efa iradi Jesus Christ ya wunu anase jufu hina ya wunu no igidi se nyankopo no ana di omo enhunu dada kakra no. Afe or two kind at two small. No one jumo a da won't. No mushasun say, wait, dear, a bachelor at Jimkobia, yeah, Bewununo. Friends, why am I spending time on this? Dear friends, you know, the Bible teaches, and Apostle Paul spoke about this in Acts chapter 17 when he was speaking again with very intelligent people at the time. He told them that God was the God of all the nations, ruling all the nations, a God that has power over all the nations, and who orders all things according to his will for the salvation of souls, so that people may seek him and find him. So it is. God rules over all things so that men may seek him and find him. He orders the circumstances of all people so that they may seek him and find him. And so the Lord ordered the circumstances of these men so they may know something, because they may have what they heard from the scriptures. They have given attention to that because it's a promise. If I give attention to the limited understanding and light God gives me, he grants greater blessing, greater light, and he helps me to understand far more than I think. My dear friends, the same thing with the matters of salvation, my dear friends. The big question is, if we have a limited understanding about the things of God, what do we do with that? If we have a limited understanding about some of the Lord Jesus Christ, do I simply throw it away and ignore it and treat it lightly? Or do I try to take that seriously and hold on to that? Because that limited knowledge and understanding I have of the Lord, if I cherish that, and it makes me long for a clearer and better understanding, God promises he will grant that. He will grant clearer understanding. He will grant better insight into the things about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that this may lead to my salvation and blessing. And so, my dear friends, yeah, kase some crossway won nim die kakra no mo eferade Jesus Christo hu no ana fa you fun mo ehia ebeba no enam so mo cross on ti erade ma emane yekase bi eka won ho ena mo etias bi ka ho sedebeya ebebo won no mo itumi aba erade ni che yes sir na nyankopon eye se no nyankopon nim die kakra. Na so me fasa nyim die no na so me afa me nyibre mu na ehwen hia me se me krasa nyim die no nyankopon ebe hira so na ode me baba irade che so fa na apostle for ka ho asan ewo asoma fenyuma no iti edun so se nyankopon no nka so no bo wi asenti ode nyina etutu emia hodo a sa ni ono dandami ye ntibia ahodo se bi ebe ya ye betumi ehu no. They are burning chain. Sir, and then you are some catcher. And so, my dear friends, so it is. What do you do with your limited light and understanding? What do you do with your limited limited information you have. Now, here we are. Many of us may have some knowledge, some general knowledge about the Bible, some general knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ, some general knowledge about what salvation is. But what do we do with that, my dear friends? You may be a person who have been here for some time, and you have a measure of understanding, a measure of insight, a measure of clarity. Now, what do you do with that, dear friends? Do you hold on to that? Do you ignore that? Do you treat it lightly? Do you treat it as if it's nothing at all? Then, friends, you might lose that. You might lose that understanding and that light and that understanding. So, my dear friends, what do we do with that limited information we have? The Lord promises to bless that if we took that seriously and if we embrace that. Now, I want to go on to explain something else. Because, please come with me to verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. It is a surprise, it's supposed to have been a good news, but Herod was troubled. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, please bear in mind that Scripture really doesn't say that these wise men came to the palace necessarily. They came to Jerusalem inquiring. They came to Jerusalem asking. And then Herod hears it. Did somebody go to inform Herod? Did somebody direct them eventually to Herod? No, we do not know. But Herod himself invited them to his palace and then asked them. Here in verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So now Herod hears the message, calls them quietly, privately into his palace, and inquires about what he has heard, about the king to be born. And he was assured that that was the prophecy. Because the prophecy says that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. They were quoting to him from Scripture. And so now Herod sends these men to Bethlehem. So picture it. They come all the way from the east. A very long and dangerous journey. They come all the way from the east. They come to Jerusalem inquiring. This is a fairly large city. They inquire. And then where exactly should they go to find the king born? Now, you would say, well, at this point they no longer see the star. That's the impression the text gives us, because they will see the star later on. It appears as they approach Jerusalem, the star could not be seen again. So that this time, they had to actually inquire from people. What sort of persons they were, we don't know. Then eventually, they were brought to Herod's palace, because Herod invited them. So, God had used natural events, this luminous thing, the star in the skies, but eventually, they needed personal help. They needed to be helped personally, and so, they were directed to the king's palace. Then, Herod himself, from the information he gets from Scripture, directs them to Bethlehem. Tells them to go to Bethlehem and find. His motives were evil, his motives were bad, but they were going to be useful to the wise men. And so he sent them to Bethlehem. Now, why did no Herod, you could ask, why did no Herod hide the information? Because after if he didn't want any other king, why did he not hide it so that perhaps these men go away frustrated? To some extent. But no, he tells them, and he directs them where they should go. They should go to Bethlehem. Of course, his intention, as I said, were evil, but God was going to use that. And so he directs these men to Bethlehem, where they would be. And then they would go there and see the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby Christ, born there. And so, my dear friends, why am I stressing this? Because, you see, the Lord may use all manner of things to bring me to the realization of my need of the Lord Jesus Christ, but eventually I would actually need to be shown from the Bible what exactly we must know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain this. We say that God has made his creation such that they teach us something about God. But the Bible teaches that it's not enough to show us who this God is, how we may actually know him, and how we may actually walk with him, how we may actually be reconciled to him. We do not know. We have to be shown from his word. We have to be shown from his Bible. And so even though these wise men, they were wise in their own rights, they were wise in their fields of learning, and yet when they saw this luminous thing, the star, and could, by the help of the Lord, could properly calculate and be aware that a king was born, they still needed the instruction of the scriptures. They had to be taught what the Bible says. They had to be taught what the Bible teaches in order to come to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. You see my point, my dear friends? You know, it doesn't matter what our extent of learning is like. My dear friend, for us to know the Lord must bring us to his word. Dear friends, it's okay to have whatever pursuit in learning you want, my friend, but to know the Lord, he must show you that from his word. You must be taught that from the Bible. For me to become a Christian, to become a child of God, we must all come to the same point where we seek that mercy as it's revealed in the scriptures for us. There may come up a brain now and say, Adam 4. Say, Papa, what more mobile? No, we ain't answer for pa. And so, say, dear, be your mobile to me, Abbe Radin Cheno. Omobe do baby no. Sa and Snuma no mu yano. Omwe unibio. Ye di era dia or den a di extra one. I withdraw science no mano. E if you are so moon, Huno and Sunmanubio. That Ramon Huno and Sunmano. Afei de, omo ba Jerusalem, no mo bebi sa bisaye, ye hunu non sunuma, ewo east, ewo bebe wea epieno. You see, they said we saw that in the east. When we started the journey, that's when we saw it. And we have come to worship him. And then they came, no mo ba ye, na omo hunu sunuma ni biyo, omo ba Jerusalem, omo sa bisaye, and afei de omo chon se, Esomo Kobesem is sent a treno akasa, treno akasa. Ye be wono, a war Bethlehem. Ye be we radius Christo no sa, you fuhin no, a war Bethlehem. And I feed ye, Herod, none the timu po, a ye bonidia. And so small one said, Omunko Bethlehem, and Koshusheno. Friends, I wish we can appreciate how God was so ordering the steps of these men because they were willing. You see, their intention was to come to worship the Savior if they found him. So mono sajim konwa. Omo dinu beye de. If they found that Savior, what would they do with him? They worship him. And so the Lord blessed them. The Lord brought them all the way. The Lord brought them to find the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby Christ. And so the Lord was working in all these things, eventually bringing them to his word. Recently, there was a young man in the church in Cape Coast who was converted. And in his testimony of conversion, he mentions various events that happened that greatly helped him to come to the Lord. Some of them you'll be surprised. What was wonderful was that he could see the Lord's arm in them. He could see the Lord shutting some doors. For example, you may be surprised at this, and he would be right because of the blessing that flew from that. He said, for example, that when he had finished school, his sister was going to seek a job for him somewhere in Accra. And then, for some reason, it couldn't succeed. Everything failed. And so he was compelled to remain in Cape Coast. And in the process, continued to come under the sound of the gospel. And the Lord blessed him. You don't want to think of such things, isn't it? We all think of only advantages. But here is somebody seeing clearly what appears to be a denial, something good, lost. He saw in that rather the Lord's work to bring him to under the sound of the gospel in order to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God was at work in all things. Na me kasa say say mini my brain tie bia no kasa die nyankopon ena me edwuma kra na nka ne sosheshoman wa kra ne o Cape Coast ne sosheshoman no e wa kra na enyam basunti e bo ano e ma afi o won so tie urade asem no be ye urade dia. And so God was working in these things. He withdrew, as I said, he withdrew the star so that these wise men will hear from the Bible, will be told, even though by our lips they don't expect Herod, of where the Savior will be born. Because Herod himself will get his own information from the Bible, from the priest, who will read that to him and show him. My dear friends, let me stress this again. No matter how wise you are, no matter how intelligent you are, this is where the Lord will bring you if you will find him. He will bring you to come to listen to his word. Because faith unto salvation comes from the word. Without hearing the word, we don't come to faith in Christ. Faith is not in ourselves. It comes as we hear about Christ, about his death for needy sinners, about what he's done for sinners, and of our hopeless condition. Then we begin to understand and cast our souls upon him and ask him to have mercy upon us. My dear friends, can I encourage you? Oh, these days are very busy days. If we were to ask ourselves, how many persons have our own Bibles in our homes? So many, perhaps every one of us do. We have our own Bibles, don't we? How many of us read it? How many of us read the Bible? And read it with an inquiring mind. Read it with a mind that says, I wish to know the God who is revealed here. And yet that's a promise. If you read this Bible with that inquiring heart and mind, the Lord will bless it. Some people say, there's so much confusion around. There's all kinds of Christian groups all around. There's all kinds of claims about Christ and all these kind of ideas all around. I'm confused. Yes, you may be confused. But this is a promise. This is God's own promise. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said it. That if you truly long to know him, and then you tell yourself, well, here is the Bible. I want to read this. I want to read it for myself, crying to the Lord. Oh, that I might have understanding. Oh, that I might have light and insight that God promises. You would know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will let you come to that understanding of our dear Savior. It may not be overnight, but by and by, he will bring you there. It's a promise, my dear friends. So, somebody was speaking about politics of religion. He said, everybody's making politics of us. Mine is right. Theirs is wrong. So he wants to make that an excuse. I knew this man years ago. He wanted to make that an excuse to ignore it all. Dear friend, you can't do that. If you are really concerned, take this Bible, read it for yourself with an inquiring heart, with an inquiring mind, truly desiring. The question next will be, why do you want to know this God? These men wanted to know that they come to find him, that they may worship him. He is a king. He's a king they seek. If they found him, they would want to worship him. Dear friends, if you were shown the Lord Jesus Christ, what would you do with him? If you were to be shown who he is from the scriptures, what would you do with him? My dear friends, that's the biggest question. If you truly desire to worship him, worshiping means you want to live under his rule and government and admire him above all and delight in him above all. If this is your concern and this is your longing, you will find him. You will truly find it. It's a promise that God gives. Erade say, say, I'm person is shame, Rade say, dear, be a mehuno. And I'm a sum no dear. Mehuno. And yana koba say, and now say, they did be brave, a war or obia, kafan, and yami sumni, Christo sumni, a kikaka humber brain in tea. If you will cross, why do you cry and walk in the name? Omon, who said your moon and be in fact. And yet, didn't cry. Eradisha Bosse. Say, I'm person with burning chain here. But you know where the problem lies? Sometimes, you see, I really don't want to know God in order to submit to Him and love Him and obey Him. I really want to satisfy my curiosity for the purposes of being more loud in argument. So I want to get a good book that tells me about all Christianity and things like this. So that when that discussion comes up in that office, I can be very loud and I can be more convincing. Dear friends, that would do you no good. What's the worth of it? If all of us are sick persons here, and you want to have a knowledge of a medicine, and you wouldn't want to take it yourself. You only want to get that medicine to come and have arguments about that in the office. What's the point? What's the good of that? In the course of the argument, you may collapse and die because you are sick too. What's the point of it? And so friends, the Lord Jesus Christ said, so friends, I wouldn't want to be telling too many verses as we do in our Bible study, but that's what the Bible teaches. Why would you want to know anything about Christianity? Why would you want to know anything about the Bible? Why would you want to know anything about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it so that you may know Him and bow the knee to Him and to truly walk with Him? Then the promise is God will help you. There will be light pouring to you gradually sometimes, but you will come to know Him and you will come to find Him. It's a promise. And my dear friend, so when that star, please come with me. I have to begin to draw to the close. But verse 8, look at it there again. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Herod was doing, I don't know whether somebody's done that to you before. I've known a situation of friends who they were virtually guns. You know, young persons, when young persons were growing up and we're living in communities, you find three or four or so keep close together and they are in for mischievous things. They go to cause trouble. They want to go and look upon ladies and make fun of them. Things like this. That's where they want to go. There had been a situation like this. And one of them began to take things about God seriously. And so he started going to church. And strangely, the others decided to go with him too. You know what their motive was? It was something like Herod's. They didn't want to lose this friend. And so they were actually going to go with their friend to that church so that when they were there, they can find all the negative things they can say so that when they close, they can convince their friend not to go there again. So they may get him back to themselves and so they can still be in their group. Herod was doing something like that. And do not be surprised, my dear friends, that sometimes have we not heard about young persons in sometimes sinful relationships that the other party in a clever way finds a way to draw them away from spiritual things. He or she knows if that boy, if that young lady began going to that church, I'll lose her because she wouldn't want to continue that friendship. And so they begin to be crafty and use all manner of means to pull you away. Dear friend, these things happen. Because when you want to come to the Lord, the devil gets very active. When you truly want to come to the Lord, if your motives are genuine and sincere, the devil goes to work. He doesn't want you to come. He wants to give you excuses. He wants to pull you away. But you see, friends, this is it. The devil can do his very worst. But this is the encouraging part. Let him do his very worst. If you are sincere, if you really desire to come and bow the knee to the Savior and to follow after Him, God will send help. There will be such help. There will be such strength. There will be such enabling. There will be such wisdom to answer and to respond to circumstances that you will not be hindered from coming to the Lord. Well, no, friends, we rejoice over this. We rejoice over this because if it is not that, perhaps nobody will be saved because the devil is so strong. But the Lord Himself will come all the way and be our help. Dear friends, do you really desire? Do you really desire to know the Lord and to bow the heart to Him and to rest your hopes upon Him and to find the forgiveness of sins which the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased on the cross of Calvary? Do you want your sins washed away? Do you want Him to give you a new heart and to make you His child? Do you want Him to now make you somebody whose prayers could be heard in heaven and whom God will grant you understanding about life and about life's meaning and about life's purpose and then direct the rest of your life till life's very end? Do you desire this? Then friends, if this desire is sincere, the encouragement is this. Now read the Bible for yourself. Begin with the Gospels at least, and you would see that the Lord Himself would show you things gradually, and you will come to truly trust in Him and find the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the world, and you would come to yield your heart to Him. You will be brought to a point where you abandon all righteousness in yourself. Any good you think you could do to please God, and you will come to throw all of them away because you realize they are nothing. And you come to rest your hopes on the free righteousness that God gives to sinners that come to Him, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, do you truly desire to come to Him? Then the Lord will surely help and bless you. Friends, I begin to move to conclusion, but I want to read this part before I do. Now, look at verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east. So do you see the point? They saw it in the east. They started the journey. They didn't see it again. They came to Jerusalem. They received help from Scripture. Then, the star again. As I seem to confirm that they are in the right path. The star they had seen now appears again. This time, leading them all the way to where the child was born. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Is that not amazing? That the star will now bring them exactly where they wanted to go. Oh, the grace, the mercy of God that directs the steps of those who truly seek the Lord to find Him. And to go to the right place where they will be told what to do and then to find the Savior. Dear friends, can I encourage you again and challenge you again? Do you really desire to know the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really desire to worship Him, bow the heart to Him, yield yourself to Him? Years ago, Pastor said this, and I'm not. I have to give another illustration. Years ago, there was a very intelligent Christian, and what he was doing most often was to speak with young persons who were saying there was no God, atheists, as we call them. And this man, had, from the Bible, had established the principle, as we are speaking about now, that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself also said it, that the reason why we seem to be blind toward God is that because we are determined to go our own ways. We are determined to go our own ways. We are not that we want to just go, we are determined. And so every light or understanding we would have, if they will show us our sins, we don't like it. The Lord Jesus Christ said that in John 3. As he was having this conversation with these three young persons at a coffee shop. And so the discussion started. No, there's no God. There's no evidence that there is God. And this Christian puts forth a simple question. He asked them, if I gave you evidence that there is God, would you worship Him? And it's as if they have rehearsed it. They went in unison. No, 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 no. And then the man said, that's exactly why. You will never know him. He is a God. He is there to be worshipped. If you don't desire to worship him, why would you know him? For what purpose would you know him? Merely for curiosity? No, that's not why God made us. That's not why he made you. If you don't desire to know him, darkness comes upon your mind. Your prejudice becomes stronger. Because all you would want is excuse for your sin. To go on in your sin. To go on in your disobedience. And to rebel against him. And to ignore him. Oh my dear friends, this is my plea with you this morning. Yeah, there is such a Savior who is God and yet took on human nature and came down to earth to purchase forgiveness of sins for sinners. He had to go to the cross of Calvary to bear the shame and the punishment for sin for all who would come to him. And he did that perfectly. He had borne the curse. He had borne the punishment for those who will repent and seek him. If you truly desire his mercy, if you truly desire his pardon, dear friends, now begin to inquire from his word. You are here this morning, and we will tell you that we are telling you about this message of grace, of his pardoning love. It is as those priests were telling Herod, who will in turn to the wise men. We're telling you what Herod had to learn from others. We're telling you from the Bible. Here is a Savior. If you truly want to bow the knee to him, now you may call upon him and ask him to have mercy upon you and to grant you understanding and to take away your prejudice and help you have understanding of who he is and why he came. And if you are sincere, then where does the if you are sincere, he will bless you and draw near to you and show you himself, who he is, what he's done, and why you may be blessed from him and through what he's done on Calvary's cross. First, let me close with those things that those men did, and we are at verse 11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Preachers love that verse very much, but my time is finished, so I don't want to dwell there. You know why? Because there's something strange here. These are important men. They came to see a baby, a weakling, with his mother. If at this time they had moved away from the manger, we are not sure, probably they had moved away from the manger and they would have been in an ordinary house. If they were still in the manger where the shepherds went to find it, that would have been even more shocking. But wherever they were, it would have been a very simple, ordinary place. These are men who are used to impressive things. They come, they see this baby. They were coming to look for a king. You remember? No one has told them it would be a baby. But here they were. They were directed by the star and by the counsel from Scripture to a baby. And they bowed the knee to him. Oh, friends, so much. But I said one thing, and I'm done. Dear friends, there are many that will fail to find the Lord Jesus Christ because they look for impressive things. They want big and flashy things. And I promise you, there are churches all over that would do that. I'm sorry to close in these words, my dear friends. You know places nowadays where supposed to be places of worship. At Christmas time, you see them doing this in a lot. And the whole atmosphere there really looks like a dancing place. And you have all these lights shining all over the places. And all these dazzling things all over the place. And everybody in some impressive garments and things like this.
and with all the huge instruments arranged all over the place. They look at it and say, ooh, this must be what God is pleased with. Yes, and be very careful. This is a very fundamental thing with God. The Lord cannot be impressed with outward things. You can't impress Him. He hears the language of the heart. You can't impress Him with this huge, loud, impressive music displaying human skill. That's what Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 17. If that's what you see before it's all, then I want to be worship that God whom is found in that environment. You will not find the God of the Bible. There may be large crowds and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when the things are about impression, impressive things, remember, Almighty God takes no delight in that. Oh, friends, if it were now, one of our Bible studies would have run through a number of texts in the Bible, and you would see for yourself, He's never impressed with when men merely want to do outward things for impression. He wants to hear the prayer of the heart, begging for pardon, trusting in the Savior, depending upon Him, casting his soul upon Him, looking upon what the Lord Jesus did on Calvary and said, Lord, I have nothing to bring. Lord, I am a sinner. I have nothing to impress you with. I come only with my sin, my pride, my selfishness, my self-centered living. I come that you may change me and make me a new person. That will be heard. That will be heard in heaven. And the Lord will bless. Oh dear friends, come. And come in a humble way. See the Savior now in glory. No longer a babe. Now in glory. Inviting us to come and listen. Come. Repent. Trust Him. And He will have mercy upon you. Let's pray.